Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Rumor mongering. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we deal with the whys and the wherefores, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the eye of the hurricane, the Fox Sports Radio studios in a secret location deep in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour comes from the speculation machine of football, a place we like to go quite a bit. Consider this the 6 degrees of Urban Meyer. Now, earlier this week, there was a prominent college football coaching job that opened up. Also, over the weekend, an NFL team that plays in Jacksonville, Florida, looked like they had never practiced football before when they took the field. So those two things have fused together and created a bit of a wildfire over the last couple of days. And the Jacksonville coach, Urban Meyer, has finally addressed, I say finally, it's only been a couple days, but he has addressed the chatter about his return to college football. And if you did not hear, maybe not, it happened early. I was sleeping. It was overnight for me. It happened in the middle of the night. I was fast asleep. But I woke up and I saw it. Urban Meyer answering to the speculation that he may end up leaving Jacksonville behind after a season or less in the middle of the night and going off to Southern California. Well, as Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
There's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Okay, so he said, there's no chance I'm here and committed to building an organization, or build an organization. That was the quote, verbatim, by the way, verbatim from Urban Meyer. So let us discuss the question. Do you buy or sell Jacksonville coach Urban Meyer's denial of interest in the USC job? So I am selling. My thoughts on this. You've got language, Pulitzer, and Venn diagram. And we will tie all of these things together, and those will be the foundational pieces of this Maller monologue. Now, Urban Meyer as an NFL head coach, the book has not been written. Some seem to think the book has been written. I am not one of those people. It is mid-September of the first sojourn for Urban Meyer. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be the worst coach in NFL history. It doesn't mean he's going to be a great NFL coach like Pete Carroll or Jimmy Johnson, some college coaches that crossed over and did very well. It doesn't mean that he's going to leave in a month or 2 months or next week. That said, this particular story has legs. And there are several different ways to judge the believability of someone answering a question. You have both the words and the language, but the body language is the big thing here. That's the real thing here. And on the Maller report card, Urban Meyer asked the question about USC. His response gets on the Maller grading book an F. It gets an F. He's actually added fuel to the fire. He's managed to make this more of a story by his answer. He earned a red check mark for failing what's known as the 738-55 rule. It's a lot of numbers there. But the rule, essentially, I'll sum it up in layman's terms. The rule states that only 7% of a message is based on the words. Just 7%. 38% come from the tone of your voice. And 55% from body language, the expression on your face, how you look to another human being. So while the words, if you read the words, and you can't read them because we're on radio, they don't sound bad. They don't sound bad. There's no chance I'm here and committed to building this, the organization. That was the quote, right? No chance. I'm here, committed to building an organization. The tone, though, the tone and the body language flopping around like a dead fish. Urban Meyer mumbled and stumbled. And then you've got the body language, which you cannot see because we're on the audio platform here. But my God, where do I begin? Urban was fidgeting. He was moving his arms around to show off his pot belly. Not a good look. And then in the middle of the answer, right, middle of his answer there, he put his head down and closed his eyes. And so what I did is I immediately went to my personal Bible for lying, the FBI handbook to lying. It was written by an ex-FBI officer and what they look to determine whether someone's lying. And right there, among the most common things that people do when they're lying, Urban Meyer, dead giveaway. It was a dead giveaway. Closing his eyes for more than 1 second. And they say in the handbook on lying that anytime you're answering a question, you're speaking, and you keep your eyes closed for more than 1 second at a time, it's something people often do when they are lying. Right? Lying. Bad look. All right, now, part B of this. Then you have the reporter, and I say that in air quotes. You have the reporter asking the question. Now, I don't know who that person is. I don't know. Maybe they're decorated in journalism. Could be, right? Certainly sounded like whoever asked that question was someone on the team payroll. Could it have been a Jacksonville PR assistant or someone that wants to be a Jacksonville PR assistant, the Jags web guy, jagwires.com? Local media hack who's a fanboy. Now, I understand that the media has become as soft as you could possibly want it to become, and it's sports, and who cares, and I hear that counter-argument and all that. But this is a new low. This was so egregious. I was texting some friends of mine in radio that I've known for a while, and they're like, this is a plant. That's a plant. That sounded like a plant. The way the question was asked, the way it was phrased, the whole thing. Like, hey, Urban, let me get this out of the way for you. It's an inconvenience. You talk about stacking the deck. The term is stacking the deck, leading the witness. Can we play that again? You got to listen to the question. Can we play? Just play the beginning part here. It's not that long a soundbite anyway, but the reporter who asked the question, listen to the way the question was asked. And just you'll roll your eyes, even if you don't even care about the media and you think all the media is fake. This is a pathetic, embarrassing question.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
No chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Yeah. Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. So right away, the reporter, the opening salvo, making Urban like the victim. Like he's somehow the victim because his name was connected with a great college football job. And I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it. And so you can put it to bed. Well, that's a Pulitzer Prize piece of journalism. Somewhere, Walter Cronkite's rolling over in the grave. William Randolph Hearst, Hunter S. Thompson. My God. It's just crazy. He even tossed in at the end of it, he tossed in the okay at the end of it. Like, okay, Urban, I'm sorry I had to do that. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. You can't make this up. You can't do it. Now, the last word on this. So the Urban Meyer story, we know it's not going to go away. And every time Jacksonville goes out and performs like a peewee football team, you can add more fuel to the flame. And they were struggling with the basics, blocking and tackling. If you can't block and you can't tackle, how are you going to win any games? Now, if that continues, the drumbeat is obviously going to grow louder. But if you take a look at the Venn diagram and you can compare and contrast college coaches who go to the NFL and then take a peek over at the side where Urban Meyer's resume, and it's on top of each other, Urban Meyer's resume, and it's staring at you right between your eyes there. You look at Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban, Bobby Petrino, and a gaggle of other coaches who did belly whoppers. And that's why many people are convinced that Urban Meyer's going to take a number from the deli counter and leave. Most college coaches flame out in the pros and run back to the college game. Now, I believe Urban will be different. And I could look like a total jackass when this is all done. And they're not off to a good start. But Jacksonville wasn't built in a day. And Urban is known as a job hopper. We had him on when I was in a weekend show in the early days of Fox Sports Radio. He's coaching at Utah. And we had Urban on regularly on a show that I did because a guy I worked with, Chris Landry, was a buddy of Urban's. And so we had him on quite a bit. And then he went to Florida when he was supposed to go to Notre Dame, but he went to Florida instead. And then he skipped off to Ohio State. He's a coaching hobo. And the USC job's a good job. It's one of these sleeping giant jobs with good infrastructure, a lot of money, L.A., there's a lot to it to like. You can own the Pac-12. You don't have to go to the SEC or, well, he was at the job, Ohio State, where they owned the Big Ten. But the point is, they'd have the same setup. Like Ohio State runs roughshod over pretty much everybody in the Big Ten. You'd have the same setup at SC with Urban Meyer. Again, I think he's going to stay at least for a few years in Jacksonville and have some success. I do not believe he's going to leave. I would be disappointed if he leaves. I would be. But there's also a lot of people in NFL circles that are openly cheering for him to make this a kamikaze mission. Urban Meyer is not welcome. He is an interloper. This guy's an outsider. He's an outsider. He's crashed the gates of the National Football League. He's uninvited. And those lifers, the NFL lifers, the old school, the old guard, they love to brag about how difficult it is and how tough NFL football is, not for everybody, and you can't just come in here as a college coach and have success. If Urban ends up actually succeeding and turns Jacksonville into a good, consistent playoff threat, which is, I believe, the ceiling for Jacksonville, then it makes the other guys look bad. So they want Urban to fail. They want him to suck. And so one game he sucked, and it's not looking good for game two, and you look down the schedule and you're like, wow, this is, if you can't beat the Texans, who the hell are you going to beat? But it's never as dark as you think it is. It's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as good as you think it is. So it's somewhere in the middle, somewhere in the middle. You might try blocking and tackling. That would be a good start.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Wild rivers of fun. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we have a heart-to-heart talk coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and extremely powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the aid, the sleep aid of the overnight, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location deep in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour coming from the den of conspiracy, or should I say the cave of conspiracy. And to properly celebrate this Maller monologue, you will need to put on your tinfoil hat and wear your seatbelt. Buckle up, boys. Buckle up. All right. So let me explain. All right. What you need to know. And I'm going to give you a little backstory here. And the backstory, we're going to go in the hot tub time machine all the way back to the weekend. And the Washington football team, formerly named the Redskins, their quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, had snap, crackle, pop happened to him. He was placed on injured reserve. It was the second quarter of the first game of the season, and he is expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks because of a hip injury that, the story goes, was suffered in the game against the Chargers on Sunday. Now, that story that Fitzpatrick was hurt against the Chargers on Sunday, hip injury, injured reserve, 6 to 8 weeks, that story has been repeated verbatim. Verbatim. But have you heard the alternative theory? Maybe not. Maybe not. So I'm going to channel now the ghost of one of the legends of broadcasting, the late, great Paul Harvey. As he used to say, you know the news, but stand by for the rest of the story. So is it true? Is it true that Ryan Fitzpatrick was actually injured in a freak accident at a water park and then re-injured his hip in the game against the Chargers over the weekend? Inquiring minds would like to know. Let's go down the garden path. Are you wearing your tinfoil hat like I told you? Do you have your seatbelt on? All right. So this comes from a random caller to a DC sports talk radio show at that other station in DC. Not the good one, not the one we're on, the other one. So out of the blue, this guy calls up, he dials in, and starts spilling his guts, right? Spills the beans. This Jamoke swears that Ryan Fitzpatrick was a regular at the Symington Aquatic Center. You're familiar with that, right? It's in Leesburg, Virginia. No? You've never been to the Symington Aquatic Center? Bad job by you. It's a lot of fun for the whole family. Now, this guy claimed that the Amish Rifle was a big fan. He's a big fan, and he had taken his kids two or three times a week to ride down the water slides, the water roller coasters and all. Well, that sounds like a good day. His kids, very conservative, they went down the slow slides. The NFL quarterback, looking for a little more adventure, he is said to have gone down the fast slides. Now, the caller says the last day the park was open, that Ryan Fitzpatrick was there, as he normally was, a couple times a week with his kids, and he went down the fast slide, as he normally would do, but this time something went bad, something went sideways, and the NFL quarterback whacked his hip on the very fast, dangerous slide, and he was out of commission for the day. And this person claiming, in the story that they told, that everyone who was working at the water park in Leesburg, Virginia, the aquatic center, saw Ryan Fitzpatrick walking with a shuffle, that's the word that was used, for the remainder of the afternoon. And as a result, this particular human being was saying that the quarterback re-injured a pre-existing condition with a hip on the play against the Chargers. So, since we're still wearing our tinfoil hats and we still have our seatbelts on, let's discuss the question. Is it real or not? Are you buying what this particular person is selling? This random radio caller that Washington quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, his injury originally happened at a water park in Virginia. Is it real or not? Now, I am siding on the real side of this. I am. I'm on the real side. I'm still wearing my tinfoil hat, but I am. Now, my observations. You've got Cooperstown, Lizard, and Fig Leaf. And we will combine all of these things together, and we are going to make the greatest sandwich you can possibly have, the cheesesteak. Some call it the Philly cheesesteak, and it's with provolone, not with that cheese whiz stuff. Anyway, so we'll lock all these things together. Now, number one. This story is right in my wheelhouse. I feel like I was born for this story. I do. I am very familiar with this kind of thing. The casual consumer of sports radio will dismiss this story as nonsense, as made up gibberish. But having worked in the business for a number of years and done call-in radio, a lot of the radio people don't do call-in shows anymore. Certainly here where I work, very few shows take calls. But having taken caller-driven radio shows to the next level over the years, you would be absolutely shocked how often some undistinguished person calls up out of left field with a nugget of information that turns out to be true, that pans out it's gold. Now, it doesn't happen all the time. Right? But think Cooperstown. Think of it in terms of Cooperstown. You don't have to get a 1,000 batting average to get into Cooperstown. You don't have to have a 1,000 batting average. You can bat 300. I would say the batting average of the person that out of the blue calls up and says, I got to tell you something. I know somebody, or I heard something, or I saw something. It's over 400. That still means 6 out of 10 times you get it wrong, but 400 batting average is Hall of Fame good. Hall of Fame good. Now, back in the day, when I ran a rumor blog, which was referenced in a previous hour, I ended up, by the time I had finished that and put that baby to bed, I had an army of foot soldiers who were my boots on the ground. And they would send me messages, emails, and things along that line saying, I saw so-and-so at some restaurant, or so-and-so, this happened there. Or, hey, this is probably good. And this was my network of sources that I had picked up, just fans of the website, the gossip site that I did, and they wanted to add content. And more times than not, that proved to be true. Now, we would put those things out there as blind items, right? You know, you'll see some gossip columns, say, in the Naked City or things like that. But we did that quite a bit. And on this show, the same concept works on the radio show. We have deputized you, the listener, for major events. If there's a Super Bowl, the World Series, you name it. We have people that report in. Remember, an example I can give you is in the 2017 World Series when the cheating Astros played the Dodgers. There was an incident at the Astros hotel bar. I think they were staying in Pasadena, I believe, if I remember correctly. And in L.A. here, in the L.A. area, Pasadena. And there was an incident where the manager, who was cheating at the time, but was involved in some kind of confrontation, and it popped up on the tabloids, and we had a person call up that claimed they were there and they knew what happened, and the whole story. So we've had people call up from random Super Bowls that have been our boots on the ground giving us reports about certain debauchery that was taking place around the Super Bowl. Now, the second thing, while this certainly may be a hoax, the story about Ryan Fitzpatrick, some guy pulling a practical joke, those things happen. My Spidey-like senses tell me that's not the case here. Now, there are some photographs bouncing around on social media of Ryan Fitzpatrick at a water park. I don't know if it's the one in Virginia. I've never been to the water park, the aquatic center in Virginia, but he was at a water park. Now, that doesn't mean that he injured himself on the slide, but more times than not, the huddled masses are a great resource for these kind of what I call hidden gems, right? Why? Lizard. The lizard brain is at work. It's the oldest part of the brain, the brain stem. There's certain instincts that take over. It's human nature. We all share. Doesn't matter where you're from, your background. We all share the same qualities. One of those is to be gossipy, right? Humans use gossip to cement a relationship. And gossip, it's like the equivalent, scientists say, of primate grooming. And if you have a piece of gossip, you want to share it. What good is a story? If you're at a water park and Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt and you saw it and you think you've got something, you want to share it. So you call into a radio show and you want to let everyone know. Now, I have preached for many years, the people that are working normal jobs, not goofy jobs like I have, but normal jobs, the behind-the-scenes people that keep society marching on, the ones hiding in the shadows, these people are the hidden weapon. And just between me, you, and a lamppost, many of those insiders that get paid a lot of money on television to report breaking news, I have it on good authority that the people that leak that stuff to them quite a bit are bouncers, clubhouse attendants that wash jock straps, Uber drivers, people that work the front desk at hotels that see things and hear things because, hey, you know, stuff happens. You call the front desk. You name it. Waiters, bartenders. These are the people. You know, taxi cab drivers, if you still got a taxi cab. These are the people that see the stuff. And they're the eyes and the ears. And they see and hear things first. And they want to share that information. But what good, again, is that info if you don't tell someone else? At some point, the lizard brain kicks in. And you have to tell as many people as possible. All right, final point. So it would have been wise for Ryan Fitzpatrick, in his best interest, to try to sweep a water park injury under the rug for several reasons. Right? You go and go down to Walmart, buy the biggest, most humongous fig leaf you can get. Diversionary tactics, right? Let me give you the circumstantial evidence after a minutes-long Mahler investigation about the guy that randomly called into a radio show saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick was originally injured at a water park. So the reason that you would not promote that if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick, or rather obvious, that this is his last best chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Last best chance. Imagine how upset the Washington brass would have been had they known their starting quarterback, the Amish Rifle, was playing daredevil at an aquatic park in Virginia while preparing for the NFL season. He would have been tarred and feathered. It could have cost him financially. And here's what I think happened. My hypothesis on this is he likely did injure himself at the water park. It was a minor injury. He did the cost-benefit analysis, realized I can't really talk about this. I'm a tough guy. I'm a tough hombre. I can get through this. I'll play through it. Nothing to see here. Move along. What he did not count on is that those meddling employees at the water park took notes that they had seen the injury, saw him walking rather odd. And I also will point out that some people around the Washington football team said that even before the injury, in the first quarter and early on in that game, he got hurt in the second quarter, but Fitzpatrick looked like he was playing slower. He looked like there was something wrong with him, that he just didn't look right like he had looked in the past. And I watched the hit the Charger defender laid on Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it was a big hit, but it didn't look that egregious. Like, we've seen plenty of quarterbacks take that same hit and bounce back up and not have to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm leaning heavily towards re-aggravated an underlying issue that he started at the aquatic park. And, of course, this being the Beltway, it's appropriate. Right? I know the Redskins are, the Washington football team plays outside the Beltway, but we know the cover-up is worse than the crime. A oft-repeated phrase in political circles. But look at the evidence. Decide for yourself. Make sure you still have your tinfoil hat on and go with it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop da loop.
Oh, all right.
What were you surprised by that? Why?
During the Manning Brothers alternate broadcast, Russell Wilson made an appearance and pitched his idea for new overtime rules to avoid ties. He said there should be a second coin toss, and the winner decides to either send out their kicker or their opponent's kicker for a 52-yard field goal attempt. Make it and win, miss it and lose. What do you think about the idea?
All right, so there should be no ties, but Mr. Unlimited is foggy on this. This is not hockey. This is not soccer, the other football. This is the NFL. They take the foot out of football. I say have rock, paper, scissors, or pin the tail on the donkey. Next!
The Kings' Twitter account took offense to a Bleacher Report redraft of the 2017 NBA draft class. In the redraft, De'Aaron Fox was actually downgraded to 6th overall. Ahead of him was Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, Lonzo Ball, and John Collins. Ben, was De'Aaron Fox properly placed?
Well, the Bleacher Report, they need to get a life. This is the content they're putting out. Who the F cares? De'Aaron Fox can show everyone that he's not just a guy that puts up zombie stats by going out and winning some games with the Kings. Haven't won many games there in Sacramento with him. Next!
In an interview this week, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar revealed that he is rooting for LeBron James to beat his all-time scoring record. Now, for a while, it seemed like a lock to happen, but do you think Russell Westbrook joining the team could hurt those chances?
Well, LeBron needs 3,021 points, and that's like 2 years, but he's going to slow down. So he needs at least 3 years. The biggest problem for LeBron is going to be health. He's been hurt 2 of the last 3 years, so it's iffy. How do we do, Coop?
You fail, Ben.
That's a win. He meant I win. Fail is the new win.
You lose.
No, everyone passes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And back over to Eddie we go right now, because somewhere there's hockey news. I did see a hockey story that caught my attention. We'll see if it makes the cut this week for Eddie and Puck the World. But right over to Eddie we go. All the hockey news not fit to print.
Well, Ben, you know I work in radio, so math is not my strong suit. But I think I'm pretty much in the ballpark here. The preseason for the NHL will start in 10 days, September the 25th. And the regular season, they will drop the puck in 25 days, October the 12th.
10 days. Wait a minute. Hold on. Today's
NHL regular season.
25th? That would be 9 days, right? Isn't today the 16th?
Today is the 16th of September. Yeah.
So 9 days.
Okay. I'm close. 10, 9, same
yes.
thing. What are you talking
okay.
about?
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
You were in the ballpark.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
The area
yeah.
play there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins will start the season without Captain Sidney Crosby. The team announcing the two-time MVP will be out at least 6 weeks after undergoing wrist surgery. GM Ron Hextall said that Crosby had been dealing with the injury for years, and the team had exhausted all minimally invasive options before deciding surgery was the best course of action. Anaheim Ducks forward Ryan Kessler says he will never play in the NHL again. He's coming off left hip surgery in February. The 37-year-old had right hip surgery in 2019. He's played 15 years in the NHL with the Vancouver Canucks and Anaheim Ducks. Now, he's not announcing his retirement because he still has 1 year remaining on his six-year contract that'll pay him $6.6 million. If you retire, you don't get that money. So he ain't retiring, but he says his NHL career is over. Former Tampa Bay Lightning and Arizona Coyotes head coach Rick Tocchet has been hired by Turner Sports as a NHL studio analyst. He played 18 years in the NHL, won the Stanley Cup with the Penguins in 1992. Now, after having a couple of abbreviated seasons and complaining constantly about having to pause their season to send players to the Olympics, the NHL has decided they will send players to the Winter Games in Beijing in February of 2022. Now, they did skip the Winter Olympics in South Korea last time in 1998. So why are they going back to the Olympics? Because
money.
That sweet Chinese market money.
Yeah.
Those eyeballs. And oh, yeah, they're going to say, we love China.
That is the biggest market, Eddie. If you can get in on China, you're made. The NBA, they sold their soul for China.
They certainly have.
And the NHL will do the same thing.
They would if they could. The NHL Olympic, or excuse me, not the NHL, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee has rejected an American think tank's request to fire Stan Bowman from his position as GM of the U.S. Olympic men's hockey team. Bowman is GM of the Blackhawks. He faces allegations that he helped cover up a sexual abuse scandal back in 2010 of a couple of Blackhawks players. In an email, spokesman John Mason said that he's asked the USOPC to commission an independent investigation into Bowman's behavior as GM of the Blackhawks. We mentioned this the other day, but Sylvain Lefebvre out as Columbus Blue Jackets assistant coach over his decision to not take a COVID-19 vaccination. He's the second NHL assistant coach to part ways with his team because of this. San Jose Sharks associate coach Rocky Thompson also stepped down from his role because of the vaccination situation. And finally, Fred Stansfeld, who won the Stanley Cup in 1970 and 72 with the Boston Bruins, passed away on Tuesday at the age of 77. Known as Steady Freddy, he scored at least 20 goals in 6 consecutive seasons. He played 914 games for the Bruins, Blackhawks, North Stars, and Sabres. And that is your Puck the World report.
Oh, Eddie, you didn't give my story.
I didn't? Well, I was saving it for you.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's now time for...
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go. It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers. The wisdom, the knowledge of the Maller Militia, and all the wonderful questions is... We're all ears here. And the reader of the questions, the Koopa Loop, with profound and insightful questions from the Maller Militia.
Well, Ben, we're going to start off with a question for me.
Oh, you're asking yourself a question.
That's right.
That's awkward.
This guy T-Mac asked Coop, how come you never asked one of my questions? They'll ask what kind of lettuce people prefer and what their favorite shirt is by the same guy twice in one night. Well, T-Mac, that's actually what the segment's all about. Stupid questions like what kind of lettuce do you prefer?
Yeah.
And by the way, I would go green leaf for me. I don't think we've actually ever asked that question, which is funny. But now I've asked one of your questions. So we'll, you know, it'll be another several years before I ask another one.
Well, the good news is, Coop, you didn't let that guy know that he bothered you. That's the good news. The guy doesn't realize that he bothered you with that. So that's good. Yeah.
I don't care.
I know. I know. All right. What is next here? It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers. Coop does like the green. We know that.
I wasn't even making a joke. Seriously, that's my favorite type of lettuce.
The hippie lettuce is Coop's favorite lettuce, right?
So this is for everybody. This is from Late Night Drug Tester.
Hi, Late Night Drug Tester.
He wants to know, what is your go-to topping when you order an ice cream sundae?
You know, I don't normally go ice cream sundae. To me, the perfect dessert is the ice cream sandwich with
That's not the question. If you were to order an ice cream sundae, what would be your go-to topping?
I don't normally order it. I haven't had one in years. All right, fine. I'll answer the damn question. I will have the chocolate. I get a little caramel. I get the nuts on
top. He's going to name every single topping that goes on an ice cream sundae.
Well, that's what I get.
What's your go-to? Number one.
Caramel, strawberry, hot fudge.
Well, I like all of them, but I'm fat. I used to be fat. I like all of them. I guess right now it would be chocolate, but you know, tomorrow might be strawberry. So, yeah. Eddie?
Well, I like you. I don't really get the hot fudge sundae, but I'm
going
to answer
the question. Don't say that, Eddie. That's not the question, Eddie. Answer the question, Eddie. Come on, Eddie.
I'm going to just name every topping like some dope. Let me go with, I'll go with M&M's.
That's a great answer. M&M's. Oh, come on. M&M's are terrible on a sundae.
I agree with you, Ben, but you know, at least that's a better answer than what you gave.
No, my answer was in-depth, solid answer. Yeah. Cool. Roberto.
Got to go with the whipped cream. Caramel and
No, one.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
One
you
topping.
No, you
caramel.
Can't. You
caramel.
Coop. Only one answer, Coop. Come on.
That is actually my answer, caramel. That's my number one for sure.
Air high five.
No, I'm not giving Coop a high five. I'm not. All right, why don't we pause for the cusp? We'll have an elongated segment of Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. And it continues next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers. Verified questions. And back to Coop we go for the reading of the questions.
This question is for everyone. This is from Neebs in Ohio.
The famous Neebs.
Yes, he wants to know, Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune?
Jeopardy. I remember watching with my family when I was a kid growing up, so we always had Jeopardy on. So that's the answer. Eddie?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really care for Wheel of Fortune, but I did like Jeopardy.
You didn't like that Vanna White?
She's all right, but not enough to have me watch the show.
I did meet Pat Sajak. He was pretty cool. He's a nice
hockey
guy.
Hockey fan. I know that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Has a great job. I think he lives in Maryland, flies out to L.A. a few times a year, tapes a bunch of episodes, and then goes back to Maryland or Virginia, somewhere in that area. What about you, Roberto?
Wheel of Fortune, baby. Vanna White. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
I remember when she was on Married with Children. Oof.
She's a lovely lady, and my apologies to her. All right. What about you, Coop?
I was more into Wheel of Fortune because I liked to play along with the game shows and feel like I was better than the contestants, and Jeopardy was just too difficult.
You spin your own wheel there at home or something?
I mean, you try and guess the puzzle before they do.
Yeah, come on, Eddie.
Yeah, but every once in a while on Jeopardy, you get that right in your wheelhouse category.
Yes, and then you feel really great and smart about yourself. But some of those questions are like, who knows that?
And so the next category, 1600s history. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, all right, thank you. I'm good.
Yeah. this next question is for everyone. This is from Raz Quit the Band.
Hey, Raz, we love you, Raz. We play your music all the time. You're a legend.
He said toilet paper question for everyone. Fold or crinkle?
Yeah, so it depends on how big a bowel movement it is. Oh, if man. if it's a no, seriously. If it's a quick trip to the bathroom, it's just a wrinkle. But if it's a full on, I ate a big meal and I'm gonna have a mess on my hands, I fold it properly. Eddie,
big or small, it's always a fold.
It's always a fold. Always see, a I'm fold. Not sometimes I just crinkle. Sometimes I crinkle. Roberto?
Oh, hell no. You got to fold that thing, dude. Nasty. All the time. I always go overboard with the toilet paper.
Well, that's the one thing I don't go cheap on. I buy the most expensive toilet paper.
Hell yes.
Charmin, baby.
Yeah.
All day.
Oh, man. We had the worst toilet paper at the Airbnb we stayed at. Oh, damn. I hated that.
Now, how bad? Did you go out to the store and buy toilet paper? Was it that bad? No, you still used it.
I probably should have, but I didn't.
Yeah. All right.
Like cool. Sandpaper?
Yeah.
when I was a kid, it was always crinkle, but now it's always
get on
fold.
The fingers. All
now
the time.
You're a big boy.
Yeah, six.
Get on the fingers.
No, but if you're just doing some, the way I look at it, if you're doing some touch up work and there's not a lot there, then you can just crinkle.
Well, how do you know though? You never know until you go down there.
You kind of know, Eddie. You kind of know.
Well, you think you know, but sometimes you get surprised.
I'm pretty good at knowing what's coming out that end. I got a pretty good idea.
Sometimes you're like, wow, nothing? Wow, how did that happen?
Well, okay, yeah, I fast a lot, so sometimes there's like nothing that's really there.
Wow. I get one of those sometimes too, where it's like clean, like wow.
Yeah. And then you're like, the worst is when you wipe and there's nothing there, and then what do you do with the toilet paper? Okay. You still got to flush it, right? But there's nothing there, so it's technically unused. So Ben, what do you do with that?
Ben hangs it up and reuses it.
He's thought about it. You know he's thought about it.
I have thought about it. I'm not gonna lie. All right.
We should end on that one, but we still got more time.
We got more. How about Raz? Inspiring with that question. All right, what's next here, Coop? Let's keep it going.
Did you do an Ask Ben earlier this week?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I got a version of this on the podcast night we do on Sunday.
Well, I'm seeing some questions here, but they were from a few days ago, so I didn't know if you had already answered these.
Oh, yeah. Those, I think, were for the, I don't know. I don't know what questions they are.
Okay, I'll read this one if you answered it already. Michael Bradley wants to know, and this is just for you, Ben. He wants to know, what would be more of a nightmare, a whole week of David Gagan, Wreck-It Ralph, or Brian Fenley?
Well, I'm as I put it out after the week that Oakley Dokley Doo was in here, and I'm still seeing my therapist, and I'm taking my meds and all that, so I'm gonna vote with that. But
David Gagan,
yeah, Ralph was all right. Gagan, he's west of the 405. He won't work.
He's a big time actor now.
Yeah,
is he still here?
I know,
because I had to work. The day after my flight landed, or the hours after my flight landed.
Yeah.
Because I heard he was maybe not here. I don't know.
Well, I do a podcast with him, and I often wonder whether he's here or not. So I don't know.
He was on Impeachment American Crime Story, so, he's kind of,
He's basking in the afterglow. He had a big gig, so getting paid a lot of money for that. All right, what is next here?
We'll try and get this one in real quick. Manic Mike wants to know, he said 2 years ago he sent us all an Omaha steak package. Did you eat them, give them away, or throw them out?
No, I ate them. I love that. Listen, I know they advertise occasionally. That's a great product. So, absolutely.
I still have one of the hamburger patties in my freezer.
Ah! Are you saving it as a museum?
I don't know.
I have a chicken breast in the freezer still.
Come on, guys.
Come on, man.